certification of the U.S. presidential election.
The Senate and House of Representatives are meeting in joint session to verify the certificates and count the votes of the electors of the several states for President and Vice President of the United States.
Why a peaceful transfer of power is so important.
It is important to have a peaceful transfer of power, in part to maintain the U.S.'s moral authority in the world, but more importantly, to maintain the U.S.'s moral authority within the U.S.
Today is Monday, January 6th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
The state of the vote for the President of the United States as delivered to the President of the Senate is as follows. The whole number of the electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, the majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes.
Vice President Kamala Harris, in a joint session of Congress, validating the U.S. presidential election. And before she oversaw the congressional procedure to officially certify the votes for President-elect Donald Trump as winner of the 2024 election, she put out a video message.
As we have seen, our democracy can be fragile. And it is up to then each one of us to stand up for our most cherished principles, and to make sure that in America, our government always remains of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Monday's proceedings were in stark contrast to January 6th, 4 years ago.
Multiple capital entry!
Effectively a riot. 1349 hours declaring it a riot.
When a violent mob of Trump supporters stormed the United States Capitol and tried to prevent the election certification of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as the president and vice president.
Yeah, you know, Lori, this ceremony, this procedure, ceremonial procedure, used to go completely unnoticed, really. And now it's a thing because of what happened 4 years ago.
Right. It was just sort of a mundane part of the process that nobody even knew was happening.
Just to show you how mundane it is, we have a piece of today's ceremony in which, you know, they basically read, so they hand in the votes from the states, the Electoral College votes from the states. And they have a big stack of them, and they just read them in alphabetical order, beginning with the state of Alabama.
Madam President, the certificate of the electoral vote of the state of Alabama seems to be regular in form and authentic, and it appears therefrom that Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida received 9 votes for president, and J.D. Vance of the state of Ohio received 9 votes for vice president.
Yes, this is definitely something that never used to be something that was
not really exciting,
a big deal or talked about or anything, but obviously that changed a lot.
But let's talk more about this American tradition, the what it symbolizes, the peaceful transfer of power, and how now that has taken on a new significance. Joining us is Peter Loge, director of the George Washington School of Media and Public Affairs, who also leads the Project on Ethics in Political Communication.
Congress is certifying Donald Trump's election win. Usually, or in the past, January 6th, before an inauguration, was just sort of ceremonial and uneventful. But that changed last time around, although we do expect it to be peaceful this time. I just want to start with what you see as the significance that is lingering over this time around.
I think this time is different than most other times because last time was different than most other times. 4 years ago, widespread lies about the outcome of the 2020 election led to a lot of anger and distrust, and with the encouragement of the then president of the United States, led to the storming of the U.S. Capitol. Law enforcement officers were killed, members of Congress were threatened, and most importantly, it was an attack on a sacred institution on a sacred day. So this time, people are wondering, you know, are we back to being sacred and boring, or is it back to being alarming? And today, it's going to be boring, in part because no one's lying about the election outcome, in part because security is much tighter, and in part, frankly, because Washington, D.C. is blanketed in snow, and frankly, it's hard to get around.
Well, that's a good point, too.
I did. I drove by the Capitol. There was a lot of police presence. They put up fences around the Capitol building. Let's talk about how the United States has changed since the first administration of Donald Trump and that January 6th 4 years ago.
Sure. I think in many ways the United States hasn't changed. In many ways it's the same place. We've always been loud, pushy, obnoxious in many ways. Our politics has always been rough and tumble. Donald Trump is not the only candidate to run for office to spread lies and rumors about his opposition and about the election outcomes. But America has always had a streak of idealism and utopianism that wants to live up to our democratic ideal, and has always had a streak that says, you know what, actually, we should go back to a system where a limited number of people who all look and sound the same and go to the same church should run things. And I think that contrast is just highlighted in ways with which we'd forgotten or become less familiar over the past few decades. I think our politics is more negative than it has been in the past. Some of the things that are different are that our politics is now more about distrust or dislike of the opposition more than it is about supporting our own beliefs or values. But, you know, there are 340 million Americans, a lot of different views. And so it's unsurprising that those views bump into each other in ugly ways sometimes.
And of course, it is interesting in and of itself that what has been more, as we said, more of a ceremonial, uneventful date where this election results are certified, but that the person that oversees that is the vice president. And in this case, it's the person who ran against Donald Trump and lost and was in an administration that for years was declared, you know, falsely elected or unstolen, and yet it sort of rises to a new level seeing that Kamala Harris is the person certifying the election.
Yeah, Vice President Harris is in the same position that the Vice President Gore and Vice President Nixon were in over the past several decades, certifying the election of the person they lost to be President of the United States. And she's doing it, and she's doing it right, and she's doing it well because it is right and honorable thing to do. In 2000, it was even closer. Al Gore would have been elected President of the United States, but for the intervention of the U.S. Supreme Court. In 1960, Richard Nixon could have been elected president, but for some votes in Illinois. There's still open questions as to whether or not Nixon rightfully won the 1960 election. But they oversaw the peaceful transfer of power because the peaceful transfer of power matters in this country. What matters is the institution and the processes. 4 years ago, that was not the case. The guy about to be certified and in a few weeks take the oath of office, 4 years ago, lied about the election outcome and encouraged an insurrection that undermined American values. Vice President Harris is doing the right thing. Just as 4 years ago, Vice President Pence did the right thing, apparently in part because he saw what Al Gore had done in 2000. So the better angels appear to be triumphing at the moment.
It's important to have a peaceful transfer of power to maintain the U.S.'s moral authority in the world, isn't it?
It is important to have a peaceful transfer of power in part to maintain the U.S.'s moral authority in the world, but more importantly, to maintain the U.S.'s moral authority within the U.S. It is terrific and hopeful to me that other nations can learn from the best of what the United States has been and can be in the future. But our nation is fundamentally a story about ourselves, story we tell ourselves, but how we govern ourselves and how we are together. And a peaceful transfer of power says, We are better together. We are better when we come together and we continue the amazing American experiment together. That's what a peaceful transfer of power does. It is a way to continue the remarkable American democratic experiment. Others can learn from that. I hope they do. Most importantly, though, it matters to those of us who are privileged to be able to live in the United States.
In an interview late in 2024, President-elect Donald Trump said he would act on his first day in office to pardon some of the rioters involved in the January 6th, 2021 Capitol attack. What would that say to the country? Obviously, there are a lot of people that are cheering that position on, but others may see this as an attack on democracy in itself.
I think it'd be reprehensible to pardon those who were found by our court system to be guilty of trying to overthrow the United States government. It would look bad, yes, to American people. It might embolden some insurrectionists. It might embolden some extremists. It would give talking points to foreign dictators and to foreign leaders. All of those things are true. More importantly, what it says is what it does. And what it does is excuse people who wanted to overthrow the American experiment at the encouragement of the then president of the United States. I think such an act would be reprehensible.
Let's talk about the role that social media and the ability of cable television to micro-broadcast a point of view. It has changed the narrative. There are people who don't know what really happened on January 6th. I've talked to them personally. And to hear them tell the story, it's amazing. But they live in these little news bubbles.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of folks who work in politics and work in academia lament a time of a shared American story when there were three broadcast networks and Walter Cronkite ruled the world. And there was one shared American story. That story tended to leave out a whole lot of people, though. It left out a lot of people in rural America, a lot of people in middle America, African-Americans, Hispanics, religious minorities, tons of other folks. And first you see talk radio emerging where you can talk to more targeted audiences. There are more stations, the rise of cable television, cable news, where you can talk to more targeted audiences, and much more recently, obviously online, where you've got streaming services, you got social media services, and you can find a small chunk of people, explain the world to them in ways that make sense to them, and identify an enemy, a cause of their conflict, a cause of their concern, and then suggest actions against it. And we're fragmented. You know, we're no longer having a national conversation. We're having a series of local conversations from which we hope to have to stitch together a country. Obviously, it doesn't always work.
Things have changed a lot in the past 8 years for this country. And I think the impact of the Trump presidency certainly changed things in a lot of dramatic ways. This seems today, or, you know, the January 6th today certification seems like it's getting back to some of the, you know, normal democratic traditions. What do you see going forward, and what happens in 4 years from now?
That's a really good question. Those are all really good questions. A lot. So Donald Trump has been on the political scene for about a decade now, and he's been bombastic and divisive and attention grabbing. He is a man of spectacle. He's always been a salesman and a showman. That's what his TV show was. To the extent he made any money, it was licensing his name on buildings, stakes, airplanes, and Bibles. He doesn't build things or do things. He shows things. He is a pro wrestler more than he is an athlete. I think that this today's peaceful transfer of power, and then hopefully an uneventful inauguration. We get back to the old days of presidential inaugurations that are cold, dreary weather, followed by a bunch of really good parties. Hopefully we can get back to that. And then we'll see what happens. The Congress is going to be a mess, right? The current majority in the House of Representatives could comfortably fit in a portable jacuzzi. it's going to be interesting to see whether or not they can get anything done, whether or not they can pass a budget, whether or not they can fund our troops, our veterans, keep the lights on, help educate our children, which then means a tumultuous campaign in 2 years. You're already seeing people talking about running for president in 4 years. And in 4 years, we're going to go through this whole thing again without Donald Trump on the ballot. And we'll see if Trumpism, the idea of Trumpism preceded Trump. Trump didn't invent rage and anger and xenophobia. He took advantage of it. We'll see if other candidates can harness that in the way that Trump has in the past. And we'll see how the Democrats respond. If the Democrats can once again talk to most Americans, mostly where they are, about things that matter to them in ways that make sense, which is something the Democrats haven't been able to do for a little while. I think what the real impact of the Trump administration is going to be seen both in the courts, where the effects will be lingering for decades, and also then in the agencies, and not just the cabinet secretaries, people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who thinks that, you know, contrails somehow are part of a larger conspiracy and that you shouldn't get your kids vaccinated. But it's also the people who you've never heard of who get appointed to roles in Health and Human Services, Department of Homeland Security, Veterans Affairs, and elsewhere. We'll see what they do, where they draw attention, the actions they take, and the lingering effects of those behaviors. The show is important. The show of democracy is important, but it's the actions that happen afterwards that matter the most, and we have yet to see what those actions will be.
Hmm. All right. Well, we've got 4 years. We'll be monitoring it. Hopefully we can talk again as the thing progresses, and we'll get a check-in.
Absolutely. I'm always happy to talk.
Peter Loge, director of the GW School of Media and Public Affairs, who also leads the Project on Ethics in Political Communication.
It is fascinating, not only because this is a procedure that we would never have used to even notice it happened in Congress, but also it's just something to see, you know, that democracy works with the vice president of the United States, who oversees this whole thing that we would never be talking about, overseeing and certifying the winner of the person she ran against. And, you know, as professional as possible, you know, just like this is her duty and she just did it. It was fascinating to watch.
Well, the thing is, and he pointed this out, it's not the first time that it's happened. Al Gore had to do it. In 2000, he ran against George W. Bush. George W. Bush won. And Richard Nixon had to do it in 1960 against John F. Kennedy.
Mm. American politics, it's never a dull moment, and there's always lots to talk about.
You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA in Washington and across the globe, thanks so much for joining us.
You can follow The Issue on X, Blue Sky, and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And you can get news anytime you want it, 24/7, on our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.